Good afternoon, Medford. It is 1:06 p.m. This is Molly on Chatting with Molly, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. That was a little Ingrid Michaelson. I hope everyone had a good Easter or Passover or non-denominational normal weekend. That's always an option as well. I had a lovely weekend in Hartford, Connecticut, going to a friend's house for Easter. That was pretty cool. First time celebrating Easter. So later on the show, we will have a special guest. But for now, we'll just play some Ingrid Michaelson. So up next is Breakable.
So it's fairly simple. be okay, be okay. I just wanna be okay today. I just wanna be okay, be okay, be okay. I just wanna be okay today. I just wanna feel the day, feel the day, feel the day. I just wanna feel something today. I just wanna feel something today. I just wanna know today.
Stop having a ball. What if the paint chips from the wall? What if there's always cups in the sink? And what if I'm not what you think I am? If I fall further than you, what if you dream of somebody new? What if I never let you in and chase you with the rolling? What if I do? 'Cause I am giving up on making passes, and I am giving up on half-empty glasses, and I. On greener grasses, I am giving up. What if our baby comes in after nine? What if your eyes close before? For mine, what if you lose yourself sometimes? Then I'll be the one to find you safe in my heart. 'Cause I am giving up on passes, and I am giving up on half-empty glasses, and I am giving up on greener grasses. I am giving, 'cause I am giving.
Good afternoon, Medford. So that was Ingrid Michaelson with Giving Up, and before that was Be Okay. So we now have our special guest with us. Guest, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Nick Williams. I'm really excited to be on the radio show, my first time on the show, first time in the studio ever, so hoping I can do my best out here.
Great, we are so glad to have you. So how has your day been going? How is your weekend? Just talk to us about what's going on.
My day has been busy, definitely Monday, and class had a tech skills meeting for outdoors, learned about some knot tying.
Oh, nice. So why, what organization was that through that you were doing tech skills?
For the Tufts Wilderness Orientation.
Ah, the yeah. Tufts Wilderness Orientation. So for listeners who don't know, all nine of you, Nick and I are both trip leaders for the Tufts Wilderness Orientation, so we'll be leading some trips with first years coming in August.
It's going to be so fun.
Did you learn some good knots?
I learned the slip knot, maybe, nice. And a cloves hitch, and another one that I don't remember the name of. Okay.
Maybe farmer's hitch?
Any hitch, really, would work, probably.
All hitches. Nice. Did you do anything fun this weekend for either Easter or Passover or none of the above?
Easter was not as fun as I had hoped. My family definitely sent me lots of pictures of their Easter where they're having a great time.
Man.
But I was grading homework for computer science and doing work like all day. So
yeah, Sundays can be hard. I feel like the testament of when you are no longer a student and when you can really enjoy your weekends is like Sundays, you know?
Yeah.
Sundays for students, it's probably the worst day.
It's not fun.
But, you know, for working people, Sundays can be pretty relaxing.
It could be a good time. How was your weekend?
It was good. Friday night, I went to a nice Seder for Passover in Cambridge, and that was really great. It was very homey, you know? Like you said, I was really missing home on this holiday weekend, and I was able to go to my friend's house in Cambridge.
That's
and
nice.
It was so nice. And then Saturday night I went to Hartford, Connecticut to visit Caitlin Birdie's family for Easter.
<Love Kate. laughs>
And that was wild. That was great. I loved meeting her family.
I'm sure they're so fun.
Yeah, they are. Who it's so interesting meeting people's parents because you understand so much more about them.
Yeah,
I feel like. And I don't know, growing up, we always knew our friends' parents. You
exactly.
know, in high school, like, you know them just as well as you know your friend. But in college, it's super weird. We're all just these, like, little adults.
Little adults, though.
Yeah, very
not full
small
adults yet.
Small adults. So, wait, can you tell me about what you usually do on Mondays at noon when there's not tech skills?
Usually on a Monday at noon, I go to meditation. Gotta practice that mindful Monday.
Ooh. So what? Who leads that and what's that like?
It's every Monday and Friday at noon to one, and it's led by Priya, who is a really nice guy. He is a Buddhist monk in residence at Tufts, I believe, or maybe Harvard, one of the two. But he is super knowledgeable and leads us through like a guided meditation, which is a really great opportunity to just kind of like slow down for a second, especially before a big week.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's been on my calendar since January.
You should come to one.
Every week I say, oh, this is the week that I'm gonna go. But it's hard. It's we all have like so many things going
on.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's a nice like second to just like not have to worry about like all the stuff that's going to be happening the next week. So,
so true. Have you done any meditation before this Monday schedule?
No. My roommate actually, who did it last year, was the one that recommended it to me, and it was my first time ever going to like I'd done like little meditations and stuff like that through like other like wellness, like in high school, like when like a wellness person would come be like, oh, everyone's gonna meditate in the gym for like 30 minutes of running, which was never like very real.
Right,
so.
People are just like goofing off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome that this has been such a like good part of your week.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah, it's cool that they offer, I don't know, Tufts, sometimes it's sad that there are so many cool opportunities that just kind of float by and I never realize all of the cool things.
No, I totally agree.
That are available.
You should definitely come. I really like it. It's like a lot of the aspect of it is like the idea of like strength from within, which I really like, which is like there's like obviously a light aspect of like religious overtone, because it is like Buddhist, but it's not as much like when we have one like kindness meditation that we do at the end, that's more like, let me find the strength in myself instead of like, wow, give me the strength, which I think is, I enjoy a lot, that it's like, yeah, more focused on like, you know, inner.
That's so cool. So within the hour, you guys are doing different types of meditation?
Yeah, we usually start, we like do introductions and stuff like that every week, so everyone knows each other, and usually they like share some fact about your week or something like that, and then you go, and we do usually do a walking meditation, and then we do a seated meditation, and then we do like a meditation on love and happiness. So
wow, sounds ideal.
Sounds ideal indeed.
How big is the group usually?
It like varies, but it like gets up to like 15 to 20 people, but some weeks it's like only 10-ish people. So cool. Yeah,
that's a good size.
Yeah,
nice.
It's not too big.
Yeah. So Nick, would you like to tell everyone more about yourself, where you're from, what you're majoring in, what you do at Tufts, any other information you'd like to share?
Sure. I am a sophomore at Tufts. I am from Southern California, missing the sunshine today as it snows on a spring day.
Yes.
I'm majoring in computer science and cognitive brain science, and hopefully minoring in studio art. If I hear back from my professor about that, but, you know.
Right.
Hopefully, you know, maybe she's listening in, you know, maybe she's listening in.
Professor at the SMFA.
Yeah, respond to my email, please.
Please let Nick into your metalworking class.
Yeah, stop ghosting me, please. What else? I don't know.
Just living life.
Here. Yeah. Just stay busy always. Seem to be doing a good job at it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's great. Do you have plans this summer?
I was just trying to fill out my grant application today.
Oh, man. Sorry if this is like triggering.
No. I'm working in a lab in Southern California, working on aging and memory, which looks really cool, but it's unpaid. So I'm applying for a grant, and the professor that I'm working with sent me an email like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that was like the readings I'm supposed to do so I can fill out my grant application, and I didn't get around to it till now.
Oh, man.
And I went to open the readings, and one of the PDF links does not work.
Oh, no.
And it is the one for like what you are doing this summer. It's like, I very much need it. And so I have to email him now and be like, hey, like, was just opening the links 2 weeks after you sent this email. Like, can you resend it? But I feel I'm not too pumped about that email. But yeah, I doubt I'll get the grant. Which is fine. I then will probably work part-time in the lab and then work in a restaurant, which I would love to do because I love cooking. So hopefully I'll be a line chef, some lowly chef in a kitchen, which would be really exciting for me.
That's awesome. That sounds like a great plan. I mean, I hope you get the grant so that you have like all the options you want.
Yeah.
But that sounds like a really cool summer, you know, doing things that are applicable to your major and interesting to you, but then also learning a whole new skill that's really applicable to your life.
Oh, exactly. Like
cooking is the best hobby because
it's so good.
It's the only thing. Like, what do you do 3 times a day every single day?
You need to cook.
You need to cook.
You might as well be good at it.
Exactly,
I feel like.
Exactly. What cooking experience do you have? What do you like to cook?
Two summers ago, worked on a food truck with a very talented chef.
I didn't know this. Wow.
With a very talented chef who originally was a head chef at a very fancy hotel. He did not like the creativity that he had. So he dropped and opened up a food truck and was catering. He is the most amazing chef I've ever met. Went on Chopped and he won Chopped.
What? So, no. Okay, what's his name?
Chef Joe Yukon. Yukon.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to look him up.
Look him up.
I love Chopped.
He's amazing. We made some really, really cool things. We had like even our basic menu, which is like when we had to cater really large events, like we go to convention centers and we'd have like a couple thousand, like 1,000 covers in like a day or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
So that's like a really big event we had to do. And even that, like we'd have like lobster and brie paninis and like a bacon arugula jam panini. And like, it was just still such amazing things. And then for the, like, the smaller events that we do, that'd be only like 100 to 200 people or something like that. It'd be more like private catering. We were able to have like more creative things, and we'd like, we roasted like a whole pig once.
Oh my gosh.
We had a 15-foot paella pan once.
Wow.
Which is exciting, over like a bonfire.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. It was so cool. So cool.
Wow. That is such an awesome experience. And that's cool that he just kind of took you on. He's like, hey, kid, yeah, just like come with me to this food truck.
It was a great experience. Got me definitely hooked on like cooking and why I want to work in a restaurant this summer, hopefully. Yeah. So, you ever done any cooking yourself?
Have I done cooking? I
hope you've cooked once in your life. But
I have. I would say cooking is a really big part of my family.
Gotcha.
Culture, if you will.
Lots of family dinners?
Yeah. Family dinner was a very big thing in my family. I actually did gymnastics. My father and mother are listening right now, so I hope they take note to what I'm about to say. I was really into gymnastics when I was a kid. Uh-huh. And gymnastics gets pretty serious pretty fast, even when you're young. And they would have like crazy hours, but I was so into it. And I wanted to do this program where I would have to like be there from like 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And my parents said, no gymnastics, because you'll miss family dinner. No gymnastics for you. So I quit gymnastics and ended up going to family dinner every night. So
family,
they were happy.
Very important.
But anyway, I don't know. My mom and dad are both great cooks, and my oldest brother is really into cooking. And so just kind of cooking with the fam. And then when I took my gap year in Israel, all of a sudden, they gave us like stipend for groceries. And all of a sudden, I had to cook 3 meals a day for myself every single day.
You'll get good at cooking.
it was really intense. And I think that's kind of like a hard adjustment going from, you know, like living at home and having cooking when you want to having like, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry and I need to put in effort to cook this meal. And so we actually have a caller coming in. I have a feeling who it is based on this number, but let's put this caller on air and we'll hear from them.
That's so exciting.
Let's see. Caller, are you with us?
Yes.
Oh, caller, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, but first I'd like to respond to what you just said, that your father and mother should take notes. As your father, note taken. Yes, I asked you to attend family dinner when you were in high school over gymnastics, but I stand by that. I believe that to be the right thing then. I believe that to be the right thing now. I stand by it and defend it.
Well, I'm glad you were able to to note that on air. I appreciate your consistency at the very least.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You asked over there for notes to be taken. I reported back. Notes were taken.
Well, I'm glad. Do you have anything to share on how kind of cooking was a big part of our family?
Yes, it was. Family dinner and holiday meals. Part of it is Jewish culture. Part of it is American culture. Part of it is just particular our family. We like to eat. And if you like to eat, you know, you're pretty damn close to like having to like to cook, or, you know, getting someone else who likes to cook to like you.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
That is true. Pretty darn close, you mean. Because we are on air, so. But that's okay.
I missed you not being home because Molly is a very good cook. I more or less, I would say she learned it from her mother, but I don't mean to talk for her. Molly can. But Molly's a very good cook.
I appreciate that, Dad.
And I'll tell you a secret about Molly. She likes to cook, and when she used to cook, particularly when she thought no one was watching, she would hum to herself.
Oh, no.
And even dance a bit, holding like the frying pan. And I always took that as a sign that she was happy.
All right, no more embarrassing stories, or else I will not put you on air anymore. I appreciate that notion, Dad. But right. I do like to cook. All right, well, thanks for calling in.
Love you, sweetie.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so that's my dad. And
I support family dinner as much as he does.
Okay.
My family also like heavily encouraged family dinner. And we would, it actually created why like we would, I in high school used to eat like super late because my dad would work, and like he would want to be part of a family dinner, obviously.
Yeah.
And so like we would some nights just not eat dinner until like 9 o'clock at night.
Oh man.
Because we'd be waiting to have like family dinner.
Wow.
So, but
that's nice. Yeah. It's a nice notion. And I know when my brothers moved away, I'm sure you had a similar thing when your older brother went to college. But it's kind of sad having kind of just a fraction of the family. And, and then once the five of us are back together, it is definitely feels special when we're able to have dinner together.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely, I feel bad for my little brother because he's the only one there now. And I just, it was quieter when my older brother left. And then now that I'm gone too, and he's there, and he's been there for 2 years now almost, and he's got another year there alone. And like, I love my parents, obviously. And like, not to say that it's like not fun being my parents, but it's just like such a change when you grow up your entire life, like around a loud family and like, you know, lots of rambunctious activities and stuff, to go from like that to like a much more quieter house.
Yeah. I was alone for 5 years when my second brother moved out. And I definitely think I got closer with my parents during that. But it, I would say the first 2 years were different from the last three, because the first two, I was so reliant on my parents for everything because I didn't have a license and I couldn't drive anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was a lot of family time. But then the sense of freedom once you get your license, it was kind of the perfect mix of like having my parents all to myself and I could hang out with them, but then like having plenty of freedom with a license and cars made it a lot better.
You go out a lot more to do stuff.
And like when I want to go to a basketball game, I can just hop in the car and go. You know,
it's not like, hey, can you drive me
and pick me up
and pick me up,
you know?
That
stuff.
I remember my my first girlfriend was in when I was a sophomore in high school, and I didn't have my license yet. And so it was like every time I wanted to like hang out with her, I had to like have my parents drive me to like go on a date or something. And she also lived probably like 30 minutes away from me, which like isn't that abnormal in Southern California. Everything's really spread out, but like my mom really wanted to like drive 30 minutes to drive me like there. And then like especially if it was like dinner, like then there's traffic and it's worse. And like literally it was just like I would see her like so rarely because it's like I'd see her at school, but like as far as like actual dates, it was like maybe like the weekend, but it was never just like, oh, let's just like hang out. It was like, oh, let's hang out. Hey, mom, want to drive me? It's like, no. It's like, all right, see you to school.
Yeah, guess I'll see you later. Oh, that's, I didn't even think about that. That is tough. Especially, you went to like a private school, right? And so people lived, I'm sure, all over.
Yes. One of my best friends probably lived like 45 minutes from school.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's a commute for every morning, you know?
So I, my friends, I don't know. Iowa City is like medium spread out. But the farthest my friend lived was, I think, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's like, I'm on one end and she's on the other and most people are in the middle.
Yeah, no, I live probably like 10 minutes from my school and that's like close. That's like the average close. So it's very spread out. And I mean, like it's so hard if you don't have a car, like you need to have a car, like
and it's Southern California
everyone drives and everything is so spread out. I was really annoyed that my best friend lived like 45 minutes away though. Like I'm just like want to hang out.
So
it's like I don't want to drive to your house.
And did you go to the same school K-12?
I did.
Tell us how that was.
There were both like very good aspects of it and also things that like really sucked. It was just also, not only was it K-12, it was a small school. So I had 105 person class, in high school, smaller in middle and elementary school. And it just, everything spread like wildfire and like you couldn't have a secret. Everyone knew everything about everyone. You also knew people, like when you, once you're in high school, it was like the people, I was what we called a lifer, so I'd been there since kindergarten, since preschool actually. And like than like some of the people I knew. It's like I knew you when we were like crawling around, like,
yeah,
like I don't know, like it was just like a weird thing to like, yeah, I've grown up my entire life with you, and it's like now like let's go to like high school classes and all this stuff. And it was definitely like,
right,
one of my biggest fears for coming to college was my ability to make friends, because
right,
I was like, I've never like had to make friends, like I just have,
right,
had
your
friends
whole life, yeah,
right. And like and when people would come to the high school, like I wasn't really making friends, like they were making friends,
right,
like I already had my friend group. Like there were definitely people that came in high school and middle school that were new to the school, but and like I was friends with them, but they more like joined my friend group,
right,
like or joined the friend
they
group
had
I was
to adjust
in
to you,
exactly. And yeah, so I was very nervous coming to college. I had like, I was like, I'm not gonna know how to make friends. I've never had to make friends before. I've like known these people my whole life. I wouldn't, and it was proximity almost. Right. I was like, well, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
So hopefully I pulled it off. Hopefully,
yeah, yeah, I think you have, out of all the Tufts students I know, I think you're doing pretty well.
I'm trying my best. I'm,
yeah,
trying my best.
Yeah,
I don't recognize people sometimes though, which is really awkward.
Oh yes.
So yeah.
Happens. Yeah, that's tough. I was definitely, I don't know, I've had, I think of my friends in my life as kind of modular because I have a lot of different groups that never will meet each other. So, mm-hmm, everyone kind of has like the high school and the college separate groups.
Of course.
But then I also grew up at summer camp where I have these like very good friends that I've known since I was 8 years old, and they will never probably meet the other kind of aspects of my life, which is,
right,
crazy.
Right.
And then I took a gap year, so that's in two different programs. And so those are two more groups of people that, mm-hmm, are kind of so separate. And I don't know, I was thinking about lately that, I'm definitely the type of person that will try to adjust to different situations, and maybe more so than I like, I kind of like blend in, not so much blend in, but maybe pick up attributes of my surroundings. So, mm-hmm, I'm worried that, well, I have all these different like groups. Am I a different person in each one? I,
yeah,
don't know. I think I kind of am. I mean,
there's like a core, but
right,
there's also
a core,
like you change and adapt.
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting. One girl from my gap year I actually roomed with last year, and so that was cool to finally have like an overlapping system.
Yeah, yeah.
And so yeah, making friends is complicated, man.
It's complicated. I actually, going into my end of my senior year, I had like a ton of drama that went down in my friend group, and basically like,
oh man,
isolated myself from my friend group. And then like had all girlfriends, and then coming to college, I was like, I want to have some guy friends.
Yeah.
And then like first semester, I befriended all girls again. And I was like, I want to have guy friends. And
yeah,
I was like really worried I wasn't making guy friends. And then me and my roommate, after like 3 months of awkward silence, became friends. So
yeah,
that was
kind
of my, I was happy to make that.
And that was Eli, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Eli Strauss.
Eli,
you know, shout out Eli.
Yeah.
Hit him up. You know, he's a great guy.
Yeah. And now you have a nice little triple with your little,
exactly,
boy gang.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's a sleepover every night.
Yeah.
You know, it's so fun.
Yeah, that is really fun.
Some people frown upon the triple experience and think it's,
yeah,
like too much. But I mean, like, I don't think there's never a moment where I'm just like, oh, like I'm too close with these. Like, there's not,
right,
like too close as in like, you know, there's like not enough space for everyone. I've never,
yeah,
felt that way. And like, if anything, we've just gotten closer as friends. And
that's
like,
great.
It's, I love it. I,
yeah,
highly recommend it. So
yeah, I too love, I'm in a triple, but it's a little bit of a different situation because there's only two of us.
I was like, it's just a double.
And
you have your own rooms too.
Yeah.
Just a single.
It's kind of like two singles connected. But that being said, I truly support the triple movement.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to tell us about the characters in your triple? It's a fun group.
It is a fun group. I live with my friends, Jacob Ehrlich and Darren Rubin. Who are both amazing people. They both do lots of exciting things. Darren is in the Institute Comedy Sketch Group. Very funny guy. And then Jacob is very large into film and media studies. He is working on a TV show this semester called Adult's Life. They'd be very happy to know if I was plugging Adult's,
yeah,
Life on this right now.
Yeah, they would.
But it's a very funny show. It'll be this May, I think, finished up. So if you hear about it, definitely go follow,
yeah,
up on it. It's on Facebook and stuff. Find,
yeah,
it.
Once I'm out, once the show is out, maybe I can plug it on the show. on the show. Yeah, Darren cracks me up. He's one of my fave people to like have a meal with, I would
say.
He's a fun guy.
No, he's a good guy. they're both good guys. I actually didn't know Darren really going into the triple because I was planning on living in a single next year and then realized I would get lonely.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't live in a single. Like, what am I doing? And then I got like scared and I reached out to Jacob, who I knew. I wouldn't even say like I knew him well. Like, he's not someone where I would have been like, oh yeah, I'll live with him. It was just kind of like a, hey, like, you seem cool. Like, I promise I'm cool. Like, do you want to live with me? And like, if I live with me, I was like, will you make your double a triple? Because him and Darren were living together.
Yeah, that was asking a lot.
It was asking a lot for sure. And he was like, yeah, like, if we find a good triple, like, it was like conditional too.
Oh,
so like,
man.
If it was just like the other triples, a lot of the triples are very boxy and like our triple is much bigger. And that he was just like, yeah, like if we want to go and then yeah. And then I didn't even know Darren. Mm-hmm. And like the first time I actually hung out, like not in a group setting, like for a long period of time, not like just like a meal and carm or something, was our like this beginning of this year. We went to buy the couch for our room.
Oh,
like,
that was right, the first that whole time. Saga.
That was quite the time too.
Yeah.
So.
Oh man. Well, it's totally worked out.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that's so interesting because freshman year, when they ask you to, okay, decide who you're going to live with next year, you don't know your friends.
No,
it's like March of freshman year.
Oh,
and you're like barely know the names of people on your floor. I don't know how you can expect to be predict exactly who you're going to be friends with next year.
Yeah.
But.
And I know like there's people that like transfer and then they like don't know anyone. Everyone has like set friend groups. Like one of my friends is a transfer student. She just like, she was like, yeah, like, because she's a sophomore transfer. And so she wants to live off campus. And so, like, off campus housing is done in, like, October.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was here for, like, 2 months. And then they were like, so, like, you can live off campus?
Yeah.
Like, who are you going to live with? And she's like, I don't know anyone.
Yeah,
like,
I've been here for 1 month.
Yeah, so that sucks for her.
Yeah, that is tough. Yeah, the housing market is crazy. I know we both had crazy housing searches that are not.
Not fun.
Not even like rare stories, you know.
No,
it's
very
common to have a crazy search.
Yeah,
but it all worked out.
It worked out. I got a house.
Yeah, you did.
I got a house.
What's your address again?
82 Quincy. Come through.
Oh, nice.
People of the radio show.
Just any Medford residents.
Yeah, any Medford residents.
Stop by
82 Quincy. I don't live there now, so don't stop through.
Yeah, that'll be nice. I'm gonna be far away though. I'm downhill. I'm on Baum.
Yeah. I have yet to see my house.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I think Darren and Jacob toured it.
Okay.
And then they were just like, yeah, it looks good. I'm like,
All right.
I'll take your word for it. I'm signing the lease.
Is it a 3-person?
4-person. Eli too.
Oh, nice. So the band is really
good. The band is back together.
Okay.
So I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun.
Yeah. I can't wait to have a house. So does your lease start in June?
Yes.
So you'll sublet this summer.
Crossing my fingers, I'll sublet.
Yeah, I think you'll get sublet.
Do you have subletters already?
I might be here this summer. That is to be determined. But if I'm not here this summer, then I will try to get some subletters.
Yeah.
But who knows?
We have to find. And we're all going abroad in the spring. So.
Interesting.
We have to find subletters.
I mean, maybe that'll even be easy because if there's
a
group of four,
right? Yeah.
They just have their own house for a semester.
That's
kind of cool.
We can hope. We can hope.
Yeah.
But it's. I'm scared. Yeah. I'm scared. I don't want to pay rent for a house I'm not in.
Yeah. So. Valid.
Yeah.
So where are you going abroad and where are all your housemates going abroad?
I'm going abroad to Berlin in Germany, in Deutschland.
Deutschland.
Which will be very fun. Hopefully my German will still be good at that time.
Yes.
Because I'm not pursuing German anymore next semester.
Oh, you're not taking it next semester.
It's too hard.
Yeah.
It's too hard.
But you know, Germany will not be difficult.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll just, again, cross my fingers, you know.
Yeah.
But, and then my roommates, one of them is going, Darren's going to Amsterdam. Jacob is going to Japan.
Whoa.
And
with Tufts?
No.
Okay.
And then Eli is going to, he might go to Madrid. He might not if his credits don't line up. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One less subletter maybe.
Yeah. I am also going to Madrid. Oh, but different semesters, so we won't be there.
Yeah, you're going fall, right?
Yeah, I'm going fall.
Which is a bummer.
Yeah, that is a bummer. Oh my gosh, that's going to be so sad.
Won't see you for a whole year.
No, but I hear of my friends who are juniors, they say junior year is always weird because one of the semesters is you're either abroad or everyone else is gone. But then senior year, you all come back and it's this like fun little reunion.
Yeah.
And so hopefully that'll happen.
I'm sure it will. Yeah. I'm excited. I mean, like, I'm nervous to go abroad because, like, leaving Tufts and stuff like that. But yeah. I believe it'll be such a good time.
Time of growth and fun.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to Berlin. I really want to go. I've never been to Germany, so I really want to go.
Wow. Did you take German in high school?
Nope. Nine.
You just... nine. In college, you were just like, German's the language for me?
Well, my mom speaks German. Okay. So did my grandparents. My grandparents immigrated from Germany during World War II and raised my mom and my uncle speaking German and English. So my mom is like super impressive. She speaks German and English and Spanish and a little bit of French.
Wow.
So she's
all the Romans.
She's really cool. But then I just want to be able to like speak it with her and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like family. So
yeah. Do you feel like you're at the level now where you can speak with your grandparents?
I can definitely like hold conversation, but definitely I'll be saying and shooting a lot, you know, because I don't understand them. But excuse me and stuff like that. Like, pardon me. But I definitely can like hold a conversation, but my grandparents, like when my mom, it's a lot easier because she understands that I'm learning still.
Yeah.
And so like, she speaks a little slower.
Right.
And like, like if she says something that's like a really random word, she'll say it like, she'll say it and then she'll say it in English because she'll be like, why would you know this word? Like, my grandparents just assume I'm fluent, and they have since I took like German 1. So like when I was a freshman, I told them I'm taking German. Just like now all my texts are in German, and it's just like for my grandparents. Man. It's like homework having like text my grandparents, because it's just like I have to now translate this like long thing. They use all these words, I have no clue what they are. Like so
that's funny. I'm sure it's good practice though.
It is good practice. And I do like sometimes I'll call my mom and speak in German with her.
Cool.
Which is I think really fun. It's I wish my parents had raised me bilingual.
Yeah.
So they did not, because my dad doesn't speak German.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to drive a divide in between like
household.
Yeah, like all the kids in my mom speak German.
Right.
My dad doesn't.
Right.
So they didn't want to like divide us. That's why.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that's good to hear that your grandparents are even texting at all. That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm proud of them. I wouldn't say they're texting well, but I just like that. Like my grandparents always sign their texts like it's like a letter. You know, I don't know if your grandparents do.
Oh, not only do my grandparents, my dad signs every text. Dad, I hope you're listening right now. Almost every text, even like, oh, where are you gonna be? Or da da da. It's like love, Dad.
Love, Dad.
Like. Well, I don't know. I appreciate the sincerity of it.
Oh, I do too. I remember I had a talk with my mom about like period usage because she was like confused because my little brother like was interpreting all of her texts as like when she used a period, because like in a lot of cases, you know,
like
saying text,
serious.
You just like leave the period off at the end and you send the text.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she would always like include the period because, you know, it's weird for her not to.
Right.
And so my little brother was always like, why is mom like always so serious? Like, why is it always like, because she'd send a text where it'd just be like be home at 7, and then it'd be like be home at 7, like period. It's like be home at 7, like not just like a light, you know, like. And like my little brother got like all nervous about it, so I had to explain to my mom that like I was like, you know, like a period means like it's like usually much more serious when you're like just texting like a friend or something like that.
Right.
So, and I just explained to my little brother, I was like, mom's not mad. She just is going to use correct grammar.
Yeah, so you're, you're interpreting.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, man, that's great. Yeah. My grandmother has this flip cell phone that we got her. And there's, you know, like any cell phone, there's like a contact list.
Mm-hmm.
But she refuses to enter any numbers into this contact list. God bless her. She memorizes every number she could possibly need. I mean, she has a repertoire of about 15 numbers she needs. Like her three daughters, their home and cell, so that's like 6. And then the doctor, the bank, the grocery store.
That's crazy.
And yeah, it is. It's pretty crazy. But she also doesn't quite understand the idea of a voicemail because she's used to home phones where you have to get like a voicemail box and set up the voicemail box, or like answering machine.
Right.
And she was like, well, I don't want to get an answering machine for my cell phone. So she just didn't set up a voicemail. And so, I don't know. I think she's 90 years old. And so we're just glad she's using a cell phone, I guess.
Yeah. We have a family friend who's... She's an aunt, like one of those people with an aunt, but not actually an aunt.
Yeah.
And she also has a flip phone and like refuses to just like use it or like have it on her. Like, like she has it and like she lives alone and she's like the most independent. Like, she's awesome, but like she lives alone. She's probably like 75 now or something like that, 80. And she like randomly goes on like international trips, like, and won't tell anyone. And like
and
my mom, who's probably like my mom is very close with her, and like my mom will be like, hey, like, how you doing, like, do you want to get lunch, something like that, and like then she'll be like 3 days later respond like, oh, I'm in Germany, like, oh, I'm in Africa. Yeah. Like, oh, and it's just like, my mom's just like, why don't you tell anyone these things? Like, just give us a heads up.
Yeah,
like,
we gotta look after you.
Like,
we
had, exactly. She's like, you're 75. Like, if you're traveling to Africa, like, please just give us a heads up that you're leaving.
Like, yeah. Wow, good for her that she is, like, booking all these trips.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. Yeah. I hope I'm doing that when I'm that old.
Yeah, so. I hope so, too. Oh, man. So, you said you grew up in Southern California.
Yes.
Were you born there?
Yes, born and raised.
Born and raised. Do you like it there? So, do you like the extreme heat that is often there?
I don't think it's ever that bad because, like, while it can get up to be, like, 100, 105 or something like that, it's always a dry heat.
Okay.
And so, like, to me, a dry heat is much more tolerable than, like, humidity.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I would take 100 degrees in Southern California over, like, 80 on the East Coast with humidity because I feel like that's, like, you just get, like, you're walking through, like, just damp air and it's horrible. Like, this at least, like, you go to the beach, like, you know, you go to the pool,
cool,
like,
off.
You know, it's nice. Like, I like it. I like the environment a lot in Southern California. Yeah. I highly support it. You got the beach, you have 5 hours to one of the best mountains on the West Coast.
Wow.
You know, you got Yosemite, the desert. Like, you could do everything in one small area. So I love the environment.
It's very diverse terrain.
It's a very diverse terrain, which I think is amazing. Yeah. I love it. I'm gonna go. I mean, like, I go back May, like mid-May, and I think I'm gonna go skiing like in June.
Oh,
like,
man.
The mountain last year was open till July. No, or Mammoth.
What? Oh, Mammoth
was open until July last year. And they just, like, over spring break, I think they got 70 inches. So,
oh my gosh,
it's dumping in there.
That's crazy.
So lots of snow. Wow. Very, very excited. I'll definitely go skiing when I'm back. Great environment. Awesome. Less so culture.
Do you see yourself moving back there one day? I know you're going back this summer, and you only get your hair cut in California.
That's true. Don't trust East Coast barbers.
So if you were ever to move here, you would just have to
I'd have to grow it out forever. I see myself moving back to the West Coast eventually, probably not right after college is done. I'll probably move to the East Coast somewhere, like New York City or something like that, just for fun. But I might end up in the Pacific Northwest, I feel
like a Seattle, Oregon area.
Yeah, Portland is like, I love Portland, Oregon.
I've never been to the Pacific Northwest. It's definitely kind of next on my list to visit.
I recommend it. Great like environment, great culture. Like, I like it a lot. So
All right, so it is coming to a close on the hour. We, with all this chatting, we never did a PSA, so we're gonna do a little PSA, and then we can play some music. Do you have any requests, Nick, of our closing songs? I did put you on the spot, so feel free to pass and I can play some classics.
Have you ever heard Loving Is Easy
by
Rex Orange County?
I do not have a radio version of that. But that's okay. So we will play a PSA right now. This is a PSA about recycling. So remember to
I love recycling.
Recycle, everyone.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy
backsplash. I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest
trail. When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
a
sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a... I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Well, thank you from the Ad Council and Keep America Beautiful. Remember to recycle. And that kind of does it. Nick, do you want to give any parting words?
I just want to thank Molly for having me on the show. It was really fun. I hope to be back someday.
Yeah, I hope to have you back. And so to close out, we're going to play a little Jennifer Hudson, and I am telling you.
And I am telling you, I'm not going. You're the best man I'll ever know. There's no way I can ever go.